If you would, find the passage, Psalm 127, 3 through 5, for just a moment. It says, let me read this to you. So children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them, and they will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in the court, or even it says at the gates. Today, obviously, we have stage props up here. Vacation Bible School starts tonight. You get the children's sermon today is what this is about. This is what I usually do on the Sunday when we start Vacation Bible School. But there's a greater story in here as we handle children today. So as we pray in our pastoral prayer, two things we're going to focus on. One is today is the day of Pentecost. It's the 50th day after the resurrection of Jesus. And it's when the Holy Spirit came and was giving birth to the church. So when we pray, we're going to give thanks for the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And then we're also going to pray his hand over us during this Vacation Bible School time. Let's bow before the Father. Will you do that with me? Let's tell the Father that we love him today from our heart to his heart. May he hear from us, his children. And then we move to giving thanks. Whatever the Holy Spirit is prompting your heart to give thanks for, now is the time for you to do that. What are you thankful for? It's a chance for you to pray for other people today that overlap into your life. Give their name and their situation to our Heavenly Father. And as we give thanks and we pray for other people, just even remembering them and mentioning them today is big. We also want to give thanks for the Holy Spirit. Remember, he is a person. He's not a phenomena. He's not a thing. He's not an it. He's a person. And he's equal. He's equal with Jesus and the Father. They're all the same. God has revealed himself to us as Father and Son and then Holy Spirit. And we welcome the Holy Spirit. We're not afraid of the Holy Spirit. His intention is not to hurt us or to make us look bad. His intention is to convict us of where we are and where we need to be in the Lord. Also to give us assurance of who we are. We'll talk about that today. We're grateful for the Holy Spirit. We welcome him in our lives and in our church, and that we trust him, that he is the voice of truth and he leads us to all truth. So just in our worship today, our praying right now, the sermon in a minute, even when we go our way in a few minutes, we just acknowledge the Holy Spirit and we love him and we trust him. Then we ask you to pray for our Bible school. Obviously, we want to pray for it to go smooth. What Bible school doesn't want to pray for that? But I'm just praying that the Lord would be there and resource us no matter what happens with weather or situations. Just life happens. It happens. We know. And let's just tell him that we trust him, that he'll guide us through. And listen to me, church, those of you who are active in Vacation Bible School, may we be alert of who the Lord is connecting us to, who needs a warm welcome, who needs a little bit longer task of hospitality. Who does he highlight for us to pray for? This is a great time of not only getting the gospel to children, but to connect with families. And ask the Lord to guide us during this time. Father, we ask you to bless the offering that we've taken today. We've taken a monetary offering, and we ask you to bless it, but we give a greater offering today, and that's ourselves and our very own lives. To use us and to send us is our prayer. And Lord, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or a situation, if you prompt me with it, I do want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us today, but you see me differently. I'm under a greater and a more strict judgment than anybody in the room. And I know that. And I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. So in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. Really good to see you today. When we look at Psalm 127, 3 and 5, it's talking about how blessed children are to us and what a blessing they are. And I just want to remind you how much of a church, of our church, that we focus on children. It's huge. From our Kids Way daycare, to what we're doing at Sunrise in Danville with the boys' home, to what we do with Avenues for Women with the Pregnancy Center, what we're doing this week in VBS, the camps that we send kids to, the orphanages, international orphanages that we help support, the people, our staff, our children's ministry staff, what we do with Marizo, which it's not all over in East Kentucky with children, but predominantly a lot of what they do is with children. In our busyness, it's hard for you to stop and go, wow, we really do invest a lot in kids. Maybe it takes sermons like this for you to get a bigger picture, but we really, really do spend a lot of our money and a lot of our time investing and in ministering to children. I want to remind you that children are a blessing, not a burden, okay? Now, I'm going to finish with that statement, too. I'm going to bookend it today, that they're a blessing, not a burden. I love what Derek Kinder wrote. He goes, they are responsibilities, though. And they are assets. They grow to be assets. Like, I was never so excited when Andrew started mowing the yard. You know what I'm saying? A little bit of investment there and get a bit of return on your investment. But the picture here, and even in these verses, Psalm 127, 33 through 5, it gets a little strange because it uses the word arrows, and then it talks about they're against the enemies. And so really what all that means is it really is a biblical pattern for our kids to grow up and be protectors and defenders, that we grow them up to one day carry on, and even just recently, and many of you are in the same place that Julie and I are and were, and that is caring for my parents. My mother was in a nursing home for about 7 years in Glasgow, and then we had her parents to take care of. So their daughter and son-in-law grew up to be defenders and protectors. It means that they eventually do grow up to become that. And it becomes a biblical pattern for children to become that. Look at Psalm 55, 22 for just a moment. Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous to be shaken. And the word care there is a reference to burden. And you need to realize we have burdens, but children aren't one of them. Okay, we have burdens, but it's not intended for children to be the burden. So I want to give you three problems at parents for just a moment, and I want to challenge and encourage parents, and then I'm going to give you the problems that can be in parenting, and then we're going to give you the solution to that problem when it comes to Scripture. But there are three problems that are listed and mentioned when it comes to being a parent. Said, if you are a self-centered parent, you will think only of you, your wants, your needs, and your desires. It'll all be wrapped around, and you'll get frustrated at the kid because they're not doing what you want them to, because you're basing what you want to happen around you. Like I've said that to Logan recently. I said it to another man the other day. And men, I know we want to be number one, but let me help you out. You are not number one. Okay? If I take my family for an example now, the Lord is first. If he's first, he's nothing. Remember, he's not second place. He's not top five. He's either first, preeminent, or he's nothing. So the Lord is first. Julie would be second. And then it becomes a race between Andrew and Laura, who's third. Maybe I'll put Laura third, okay? And then, of course, Andrew's the firstborn, but I'll go ahead and, so you can tell Laura when you see her that I gave her a great plug, okay? I did that. And then Andrew, our son, would be fourth. I even still include Tom in that, Laura's husband that passed away. So it would make me fifth already. Do you see where I'm going with this? Now we add our daughter-in-law, Maria, and then we add two granddaughters, and then we have one on the way. We have a grandson on the way the middle of October. And so do you see where that places me? I don't want to spend my time doing the math up here in my head, but do you see where that places me? And as a leader, I lead from that spot. It's not me trying to be first place. So I've got myself about ninth or tenth. I don't know where you are. Maybe you can do the count. But that's where I am in the lineup. And I accept that role, and I'm expected to lead from that spot. Not work my way up. And then lead. I lead from that positioning down there. So that if we do that, that takes away the selfishness. I remember Julie's grandfather, who was a county attorney in Litchfield in Grayson County for years. That's where Julie's parents are originally from. And he also became a U.S. congressman in Washington from there. And her family called him Daddo. Daddo Carrier was his name. And they asked him one time at a family dinner, because he always ate the dark meat of the chicken. And they said, Mr. Carrier, do you not like white meat? He goes, I don't know, I've never had it. Which meant he let the rest of his family get the white meat. You know, get the other parts of the chicken. He said, I don't know, I've never had it, you know, that's a picture of leading from that place. So we've got to watch being the self-centered parent, because we'll get really frustrated at children because the children aren't doing the things that match our self-centeredness. Secondly, if you're a self-motivator, a self-starter, you will struggle with asking for help. You won't ask for any help or any rescue whatsoever. I want to remind you, 1 Peter 5:7, it says, cast all your cares and your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I remember people telling me about church planting, saying if you can go from Sunday to Sunday without asking for the Lord's help, then you're not doing church. And you've got to learn to be able to ask for help. That self-motivating parent doesn't do that. Doesn't do that. It can make everything very frustrating and build lots of tension there if we don't learn to ask for help, whether it's from other people or mainly but from the Lord. The third problem in parenting, especially with children, and again, this is really about children being a blessing. If you're self-sufficient, you will wait and turn to him in the last resort. You will turn to him, but it'll be the last thing that you do. And we need to get to those spiritual 911s where, Lord, I need your help in this situation. And then that's the invitation that the Lord says to come to me. So children are not a burden or a problem. They are blessings. So forgive us for thinking that children have ruined our life. Lord, forgive us for thinking that children are cramping our style. Lord, forgive us for thinking that children are in the way, that they are a burden, that children are a distraction, that children are too much of a financial responsibility. Of can we afford them? I don't know that I've ever been able to afford any of our kids at all. There becomes a trust in the Lord with all of that. And I want to say this about our God. There are things that happen to him and his blessings, even financial blessings, that go beyond my ability to be able to comprehend. And I just want you to know he's there to be able to lead in those fashions. So if we need to ask forgiveness for those things, and there are three problems with parenting, then what's the solution? What do we do? Matthew 19, 13 through 15 is what I want to bring to you today. I think you know the story in the Gospels, also written in the Gospel of Mark. It said, then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, actually a picture of embracing them, and to pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. And that rebuke that he did, the disciples are doing, is pretty severe. It's a Greek word called epitomao. And it means if the teacher in school, if you didn't learn what you should have learned, they would take a rod or a cane pole or something, and they'd spank your knuckles with them, make you make a fist, and they epitomao'd you. They rebuked you. So it said, and it's not that the disciples hit them, it's just the picture of the rebuke was a pretty solid rebuke. And Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to even them, such as these. In verse 15, when he had placed his hands on them, the embrace, he went from there. He went on to what was next. So what's the solution? The solution is to pray with children. Pray over children. If they're asleep, sneak in there and pray over them, okay? Pray over their room before when they're not in there. But just pray with children and pray for children. Don't hinder them coming to the Lord. Man, there can be wide open opinions here. Trust me, I've heard them. I just happened to have been a preacher for almost 40 years. I've heard them, okay? There's all kinds of opinions and ideas and even theories here. And I don't want my child to do something so young and they can't remember it when they get older and they turn from that thing. And I want to speak to that for a moment. If your children, like we've just recently baptized several children, you remind them of what they've done, okay? The Holy Spirit will do the same. He says, I will remind you of all the things that he has taught. And in that, you bring that as a highlight and a reminder to their life. Celebrate those things. I know people can say, you know, kids too young, they need to grow up. I get it. I totally get it. But I also read the Gospels. Amen. And in the Gospels, he says, don't stand in the way of a child coming to me. Don't hinder that. Don't be a stumbling block in that. I know some of them may not know Genesis from jelly beans. I get it. Some of y'all didn't either, and you got baptized older. You still didn't know the difference between Genesis and jelly beans. And the point is, you knew that you were coming to Christ. I grew up with an old saying that sometimes in the church, we want to clean the fish before we catch them, but you don't clean the fish until you catch them. So there becomes a point in that of them seeing the Lord asking them, you know, pursuing them, even as children. And I get it. I know their opinions on it, how they do that. I want to use my wife as an example on this one. And Julie was young, real young. I'm going to think 5 or 6. And she came to Christ, and her mom and dad were thinking, Ted and Mary Allison, they're great people. You know them, very faithful people. And they wanted to her to hold off on her baptism. And so till she's a little older. And I believe it was at a birthday party a year later that, you know, it's like that make a wish over the cake, you know. And so it's like, what did you do? You know, what was your wish? And I think she said, I didn't wish anything. I just thanked the Lord that he had been living in my life for a year. And so they both looked at each other like, you know, recently with some of the children's baptism, some of the kids have given some of the greatest answers I have ever seen I've ever heard about. I mean, their theology is better than most of your all's. I mean, of just coming to Christ. I remember one young lady in our church, I used to name her, she's much older now, but she was saved and they asked her about her salvation and her baptism. And she said, you know, I had Jesus in the back of my heart and I just moved him to the front, is what she said. I remember my son Andrew, when I was talking to him about coming to faith in Christ, and I said, do you know what it means? And he said, yeah. He said, do you know what forgiveness means? And he was nervous. And he said, yeah. He said, it's when me and God make up. And I go, I've got a theologian here in the car, you know? It is the point that we don't hinder them. But from that point on, we need to nurture them. And we'll get to that in just a moment. We have a mandate to be able to nurture them. So actually, in the Gospel of Mark, it said that when the disciples were rebuking the parents, the people, you know, telling them not to bring, you know, because Jesus is too busy for kids, basically, is what they were attending to, that in the Gospel of Mark, Mark says that Jesus became indignant with them. He became very upset with them that it was standing in the way. But Jesus did say in these passages in Matthew 19 that the kingdom is like these. Well, what does that mean? Like these. I think the picture here in the simple context is these kids had a desire to be with him, and the parents had a desire for the kids to be with him because they said they brought them to him. And I have to ask the question, do you have that desire? Walking with Jesus is more than attending a church service. This is just a little bit of it. It's, do I have a desire to be with him? Do I have a call in my life from the Holy Spirit as we celebrate on the day of Pentecost to just go off and leave the world behind for a little while and spend time with the Father? And the way we get to the Father is we get to the Father through the Son. Is that desire? I think that's the picture. The kingdom of heaven is like these, meaning they're eager and they desire. They have a desire to be with him. And then in verse 15, he says he embraced them. He embraced them. I just want to give you a challenge to parents and all of us who work in children's ministry in some capacity. We want to introduce children to Christ and his kingdom as early as possible. We don't want to wait. I don't want us to buy into kids have got to go through their sowing their wild oats time. That we just take that as normal. That introduce children to Christ and his kingdom and not the things of the world. Our problem is we've introduced them to the world and how to navigate the world, but not how to navigate the kingdom of God. One of my professors at Fuller is a guy named Ryan Bolger, and I loved Ryan. Ryan just, he couldn't think anyway but missionally. And so his two children, like on Sunday night when they're going to school on Monday, he would meet with them before they went to bed. And he would say, okay, we're going to the mission field tomorrow, which was school. He says, what are you going to be looking for? What can you do? And they go, well, there's this person that nobody ever eats with. And so he's like, well, why don't you go eat with them tomorrow? And they do. And they come back, and on Monday night, they report. what they did. Well, what can we do missional Tuesday? And they go, well, there's this kid that never has their lunch money. Okay, well, let's take extra lunch money tomorrow and let's buy their lunch. So they come back on Tuesday night and report. And then he goes, okay, Wednesday, what can we do? And every night for a school day the next day, he's totally teaching his children to think and react missionally. What do I see? What can I do? I think that becomes a beautiful picture of how to navigate the kingdom. We teach people, we teach our kids how to navigate the world, but we don't teach them how to navigate the kingdom of God. And then you may bounce that back on me and our staff and go, well, listen, that's your role. Well, here's the truth of it. And I've stretched this a little bit. I've changed this number a little bit and I've used it before, but I've given a little more hours in here. If we put all of our time together with kids, meaning especially middle school and high school, and depending on how well they're attended, then we're looking at 60 plus hours a year that I have your children. We usually meet 10 or 12 times in each semester. And then I know students can do Sundays and Wednesdays and the number, but when you count the holidays and the vacations and you count the times when your children aren't here for other reasons, and I just want you to know I can help with that, but I can't cram all their kingdom life in those few hours a year. I'm talking a year. That's got to come from all of us to be able to teach them what the kingdom of God is able to look like. There are three things that I want to teach you here and finish up with. I want to give you some spiritual encouragement of children being a blessing. I want to thank Logan Harvey and Tucker Austin. Logan Smith and I were away. And we were away on a little bit of a family vacation, which we'd never had before, and meaning this picture of my family, we've never done it. And then Logan was Smith, he was away leading worship at camp. And I want to thank them so much. I've heard great response of Tucker's leadership, which we've seen before, and Logan preaching. And I can tell you that I didn't worry about it one bit. Not one bit. Did I think about you? A little bit. But I didn't worry about it. Not one bit. But I want to give you a picture. What the leadership that was here in these services last Sunday, you helped raise. Y'all raised them from little bitty boys. And we've seen them grow up. And we've seen the Lord put a call on their life. They came to Christ. We saw the Lord put a call on their life and to be able to exercise that. I know it's hard work. This week will be hard work. Life's going to get in the way. Weather's going to be there. There's going to be all kinds of things going on. And you can say, well, we can pray against all that stuff. I just pray that the Lord get us through, teach us how, and make a way. You know, that's what I pray for. But the point of it is, I just want you to see last Sunday as a picture, and there's a bigger picture than just those two, that how the Lord has raised them up. You all have nurtured them. You all have invested the gospel in them, and they were able to see. I was able to go and be with my family and not think about and worry about here one bit because we have raised them up in the Lord. And I say we have done that. You have helped build that leadership here in this place. And that's a calling on our life here. All the people that we have sent out of here, we could easily have kept. But we've sent out. I have told the Lord about Logan and Tucker, though. I said, Lord, we've sent quite a few. Can we keep these two for a while? I have asked that. I don't mind to tell you. But that children are a blessing. There are times we want to pull our hair out. I get it. Trust me. I get it. I remember coming home from a hospital visit, and the little boy was hooked up to I don't know how many monitors, and he was a part of this church, you know, at some point. And I came home, and I said to Julie, came in, and she met me at the door, and I saw this little boy just hooked up to all these wires and these monitors in the NIC unit. And I came home, and Julie met me at the door, and she goes, "Look," she said, "the kids have been coloring all over the wall." And I said, "So do you need more crayons?" Because where I was, they wish that little boy was coloring on the wall. And when I took in perspective what I left and came home to, I'm like, I'll go get more crayons because we've got plenty more wall. It wasn't that big of a deal. Do you understand what I'm saying? Wasn't that big of a deal. Now, had we lived in the parsonage, that would have been a bigger deal. But we didn't. So we didn't have to handle it that way. I want you to encourage you and remind you of this. Well, I want to give you a practical way to bless your children, and that is to pray over them, pray for them, stir up the gift of God that has been given to them in your believing child. And then when we see children on Sunday or Wednesday, or we see them at camps, or we see them at different events, or we see them at VBS, or we see them at Kids Way, or we see them at the Danville campus, or if we get the privilege of going internationally and seeing them on those orphanage campuses internationally, we see blessings. I said this every Sunday I've done this. Some of them are really rowdy blessings, but they're still blessings. And I know we can get frustrated. I get it. But I know Scripture instructs us and encourages us to be blessings to children. Learn to be that. Let's look at Romans 8, 14 through 17 for just a moment. And this is a perspective. We're going to talk about the Spirit today as we honor Pentecost today. But this becomes a picture of how the Lord looks at us and then how we can take that and look at children. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you may live in fear. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about you adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. Verse 16, the Spirit himself, and we honor him today, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also one day be able to share in his glory. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Lord uses the Holy Spirit to remind us that we are his. I mean, that's some of the greatest healing sentences of the Lord, is that I belong to him. I'm his. We need to remind that also to children. I don't need to tell them that you're a rowdy blessing, even though I may want to. But I need to treat them and look at them as they are blessings. They are blessings. Sometimes we as children just get it all wrong, you know. I remember one time our Andrew was just real little. He was walking, and we'd bought him this new little sport outfit. It was the fall of the year. It was a little sweater with a hoodie and matching and Nike's little Nike shoes, you know. And they had just sealed the blacktop of our driveway. And I had Andrew, and I forgot something in the house, and I sat him down on the front porch or standing there, and I said, "Andrew," I said, "I'm going to go back in the house." I said, "Do you see that black top out there?" Because we still weren't parking on it. We were parking in the neighbor's driveway. I said, "Don't get in that. It's still real sticky and gooey." "Okay, okay, Daddy." Y'all know where I'm going with this. As soon as I come out, Andrew's not only standing in the driveway, he's sitting in the driveway with the new little outfit on and that gummy old seal on the blacktop. I remember my brother was a really good athlete, Kerry, my brother, and we were living in Indiana at that time, outside of Evansville, a little town called Eberfield. And we were going to one of his games, and this was in the 60s. And my mom and dad gave me five pennies. And yes, you could buy things at a basketball game back then for 5 cents. And that's why they gave it to me. And they said, put it in a safe place. I said, okay, so that you don't lose it. And my little mind was going, what's the safest place that I can think of? And so I ate them. I ate all five of them. I mean, the safest place I could think of to keep those five pennies was in my stomach. And so later on, they said, well, where are they? And I said, well, I ate them. And they looked at me. And I mean, our little minds, they just don't operate right sometimes, you know? I mean, I thought I was doing the best thing I knew. I thought the safest place I could find not losing was to eat them. And that's what I did. I ate all five pennies. So the picture is, listen, we want them to think like us. I don't have to give you a seminar to tell you they don't think like us. And let's be patient with them. Communicate with them as best we can. But yes, you need to teach them to how to navigate this world. It's a crazy place out there. But more importantly, you need to teach them how to navigate the kingdom in the world. And it becomes a better place of influence. And we're reminded, and the Holy Spirit reminds us, praise the Lord, that we are his kids. Let's remind them as well that they're loved and they're cared for. As we see them in Vacation Bible School this week, and we see their parents are going to be overwhelmed. They're rushed. They're behind in most areas of their life, financially, time-wise. The needs that are pulled on them. They're just behind all the time. That's what we run into. And let's be soothing to them, okay? Let's be hospitable to them and love them. And rowdy blessings, are we going to have some rowdy blessings this week? Absolutely. But they are still blessings from the Lord. One of our roles is to grow them up in the kingdom. Watch them become defenders and protectors of the faith and of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's pray together. Father, pray over our people today. There's a lesson here for all of us, not just about children in Bible school. There's a lesson for all of us. And may we love your kids, not hinder them, not get in the way. And then not only that, there's a higher calling of nurturing them in your gospel. And in kingdom life, I know you put that call on us. And I pray, Lord, that we're obedient to that. We ask blessings over this week, your guidance over this week, over the ones who have put all this together. We pray that all the pieces will fit and that, Lord, you will give us a spirit of hospitality and love to these kids and to their families. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. Church, would you stand with me? Counselors, would you come find your spot? If you want to come and pray, you want to be prayed with, prayed over, prayed for, then these people are here to minister to you. And the invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come.